Did you read Dreher at AmericanConservativeMagazine.com? Did you read Times cover story about Stephen Bannon? Here's something that made me love that a guy like him is at the pinnacle of American power. To understand Steve Bannon, you have to understand what happened to his father. I come from a blue-collar, Irish Catholic, pro-Kennedy, pro-union family of Democrats, he once told Bloomberg Businessweek. Martin Bannon began his career as an assistant splicer for a telephone company and toiled as a lineman. Rising into manglement, the elder Bannon carved out a comfortable middle-class life for his wife and five kids on his working man's salary. Friends say Steve pays frequent visits to his father, now 95 and widowed, at the old family home in Richmond's Ginter Park neighborhood. The last financial crisis put a huge dent in Martin's life saving, according to two people close to the family. Steve watched with fury as his former Wall Street colleagues emerged virtually unscathed and scot-free, while America's once great middle class, the people like his father, absorbed the weight of the damage. The sharp change came, I think, in 2008, says Patrick McSweeney, a former chairman of the Republican Party of Virginia and longtime family friend. Bannon saw it as a matter of fundamental unfairness. The hardworking folks like his father got stiffed, and the bankers got bailed out. Well, they're going to get a bailout, aren't they? Well, of course that's the way it works.
2020 does still exist.
Oh, 2020 is still there? Okay, well, just let them know that I'm available. If they want to talk to someone who is a recipient of one of these Machiavellian great manipulator coups, I'm the principal one they should talk to. Call me, 844-5-CRUSADE. You can email me directly, 2020, kingdude@mikechurch.com. Until then, Bannon had been, as he later put it, as hard-nosed a capitalist as you get, blah, 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 blah. And then Dreher says, but this part of the story in Time Magazine is scary as hell. Now listen to this. This is from Time Magazine, cover story, Stephen K. Bannon, the man who helped create the Crusade Channel. No Stephen K. Bannon coup against yours truly, Too Catholic for Satellite Radio. How ironic that Bannon is now, that Mr. Bannon is now in the Vatican talking, and when he's not in the Vatican, talking it up with Cardinal Burke. No irony lost on this noggin here, but he did help create this channel because were I not ousted, I'd a good chance I'd still be there. And by the by, no sour grapes here. There is no place on earth that I'd rather be than here, right now, on this Crusade channel with you on Facebook Live, on our app, Veritas Radio Network app, on my site at MikeChurch.com. Free, clear, and independent. Say anything I want about anything I want and to tell the truth. There's no such thing around here as Too Catholic for Crusade Channel Radio. Put it to you that way. So we're overjoyed to be here. But Dreher says he's scared about this part of the Time Magazine interview. Here's what it says. And yet he told Time, I'm assuming that I don't know who that is because the pronoun doesn't proceed. Anyways. And yet he told Time he was taken aback when Bannon began to argue that the current phase of history foreshadowed a massive new war. I remember him saying, well, look, you have the American Revolution, then you have the Civil War, which was bigger than the Revolution, and you have the Second World War, which was bigger than the Civil War, Mr. Kaiser said, whoever that is. He even wanted me to say that on camera, and I was not willing. So it must be someone that worked with him at Breitbart News. Another guy, Hal, too, was struck by what he calls Bannon's rather severe outlook on what our nation is going through. Bannon noted repeatedly on his radio show, by the way, we know all about the radio show, right? On his radio show, that we are at war with radical jihadists in places around the world. This is a, quote, global existential war that will likely become a major shooting war in the Middle East again, close quote. Well, it already has become a major shooting war. What do you mean it's going to become? And by the by, how many times has your most kind, humble, and considerate and gentle host told you that we're in the middle of a war? It's not a shooting war yet. Well, that's not, depends on what you think ammo is. Is the ammunition to cause a soul to fall into to a state of mortal sin, out of a state of grace to become blackened, so blackened that God would look upon it as with horror and disdain and disgust, and then sentence it to a lifetime of fiery retribution or fiery existence. I'd say that that's a war. You know, InfoWars' motto is that there's a war going on for your mind. Well, they're a bunch of secular conspiracy theorist wackos. I don't have to go into a conspiracy theory or stray very far from the absolute path of the truth to tell you that, as a matter of fact, I'm not straying from the path of the truth. I'm right in the middle of it to tell you that there is a war on for your soul. And for mine, and for his, and for yours, and for yours. Dark forces, the fallen demons, were kicked out of hell, or kicked out of heaven, and were sentenced then to hell, and sentenced then to roam about the world, prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. That's what they do. They don't take breaks, they don't have unions, they don't take naps, and they don't sleep. And they never stop. So yeah, there's a war on for your soul. Absolutely there is. And there has been. And it will continue until the final day. Until, as we are told, until time ends. Now, how does time end? Well, that means time as we know it. Because what's time? Time is a measure that it was created by man so that we can have markers or reference points in the events of our terrestrial or secular lives. As simple as that. But is there a war on for your soul? You better believe it. Folks, all one has to do is turn network television on. All you had to do was not tune off Fox after the Stupid Bowl and watch a ridiculous and horrifically sinful, if not downright blasphemous, episode of that horrible new television show called The Mick. You didn't have to go very far. What about yesterday when I played you the clip of Katie Couric chatting it up with Ellen DeGeneres about, and Ellen, and babies can even feel gender challenge and can even, they know that they're in the wrong body in the womb and they're fetuses. As we previously discussed, how ridiculous is that? Is there a war on for your soul? You better believe it. Back to the story here. War with China may also be looming, he had said. The conviction is central to the Breitbart mission, he explained in November 2015. By the by, why November 2015? I just love this story. Why is November 2015 significant? It's significant because yours truly was no longer on the SiriusXM Patriot Channel. The chief executive news officer of Breitbart News, Stephen Gabe Bannon, had taken over my slot again. Great manipulator had succeeded in that. Thank you, Stephen. And thus began the reign of Breitbart on the SiriusXM Patriot Channel in the morning drive. That's why November of 2015 is significant. And that's why this statement was issued. Because, hey, what's Breitbart doing? You guys going to take over a channel on SiriusXM? You know, people may have forgotten about all this, but I didn't. And I bet many of you read this. So why is that date significant? I just explained it, why it's significant. Bannon said then, quote, our big belief, one of the central organizing principles at the site, is that we're at war, close quote. Well, we admit it here at the Crusade Channel site and on the channel that we are at war. And we are at war with Moloch, Baphomet, Baal, Mammon, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you wish to call them or whatever other names they may have assumed. Every single one of them remains out there on the prowl trying to gain as many souls for Hades as they can to prevent them from going to that which they hate. And and why do they hate it? Because they were denied the beatific vision, the ability to be able to see God anymore. That's why they were told, I will not serve, said the angel of light. And he and his followers and the people that went with him were kicked out. No news here. Ron Radish wrote this last year about Bannon. I met Steve Bannon, the executive director of Breitbart.com, who's now become the chief executive officer of the Trump campaign, replacing the newly resigned Paul Manafort. At a book party held in his Capitol Hill townhouse in 2013, we were standing next to a picture of his daughter, a West Point graduate, who at the time was a lieutenant in the 101st Airborne Division serving in Iraq. The picture was notable because she was sitting on what was once Saddam Hussein's gold throne with a machine gun in her lap. I'm very proud of her, Bannon said. Then we had a long talk about his approach to politics. He never called himself a populist or an American nationalist, as so many think of him today. I'm a Leninist, Bannon proudly proclaimed. Shocked, I asked what he meant. Quote, Lenin, he answered, wanted to destroy the state, and that's my goal too. I want to bring everything crashing down and destroy all of today's establishment. Bannon was employing Lenin's strategy for Tea Party populist goals. He included in that group the Republican and Democrat parties, as well as the traditional conservative press. Can you imagine what's going to happen when the libtards get a hold of this? You know, they're already out there hysterically mortified of every word that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth. Here's a story at yahoonews.com today. It's in today's pile of print, where there was this meeting going on with sheriffs yesterday, and one of the sheriffs said something about asset forfeiture in his state, and that some legislature was trying to stop asset forfeiture until legislation had been passed. And Trump had quipped. Note that he quipped that, who is he? You want to give us a name? Give us a name. Give us a name. You want to give us a name? His career will be ruined. Now, he could easily have meant that if I mention his name, his career is ruined. But, of course, what did the has-been media take that? Oh, he's now out there threatening. And just who do you think you are to come into this state and threaten these legislators? What I have been telling you since November the 9th is now starting to shape itself up and flesh itself out, and that's this. This is not your father's populist. Now, as discussed last week, there are some things to be concerned about if you are a Christian realist. And we've discussed them here on this show, but we're learning now things that intuitively we have been talking about here. And one of them is this, that there's a counter-revolution going on here. And the people in the has-been media can't figure it out. You know why they can't figure it out? Because they can't identify reality when they see it. They certainly can't identify and do not recognize truth. Now, maybe they recognize, but they deny it immediately. That can't be truth. Why? Because it's antithetical to their perverted alternate reality truth. Let's repeat that again. So you told this guy, Bannon told this guy he wants to be a Leninist. Quote, Lenin wanted to destroy the state, and that's my goal too. I want to bring everything crashing down and destroy all of today's establishment. Bannon was employing Lenin's strategy for Tea Party populist goals. He included in that group the Republican and Democrat parties, as well as the traditional conservative press. Radish went on to say that when he contacted Bannon about this, Bannon said he didn't recall the conversation. Sarah M., a reader and a commenter on this blog, strongly recommended listening to the Fresh Air interview with writer Brian Alexander, whose new book describes the destruction of his hometown of Lancaster, Ohio. The new 1980s owners of its Anchor Hocking glassmaking factory drove it into the ground. And then listen to this story. Sam M. is a very, very right. You need to hear this. So Jared writes this, and then here's the excerpt. When you can pay a foreign worker a third or less of what you're paying a unionized Flint glass worker in Lancaster, that's an element. But it's far from the only one. We seem to have this shrugging soldiers belief that this is all some sort of natural evolution, like how the dinosaurs died. But what I'm trying to argue in the book is that some of this, at least in part, results from a series of conscious decisions by politicians economists, business people, and financiers. Parents are in jail, so grandparents or aunts or uncles have the kids. I saw just the other day a map of the state of Ohio that showed the percentage of kids who are now a part of the social service system and what the percentage of their parents who are opiate users. In Fairfield County, Pennsylvania, 58% of the kids who are in the system, their parents used opiates. The county next door, Hocking County, it's over 70%. So now you've got drugs in the community, which are an escape from all this sort of stuff. And then Dreher concludes, well, I need to tell you which presidential candidate all these despairing white people voted for. The Rust Belt region is what gave Trump the margin of victory. If Trump, under Bannon's tutelage, blows up the world, I'm speaking metaphorically here, then it will have been globalization and the emergence of an economy that chewed up and spit out people while the wealthiest profited, that will have brought about its own doom. This is a drama of historical proportions. Peggy Noonan says we're living through big history. Aye.